My name is Sister Ann Cronin. Today, April 23, 1987, I have the privilege of interviewing Sister Josephina Concannon, one of the outstanding educators of the Sisters of St. Joseph, whose influence has reached far beyond the educational circles of our congregation. Good morning, Sister Josephina.
Good morning, Sister Ann. It's a pleasure to talk with you for a while this morning.
Thank you, and thank you for agreeing to record for us the story of your career as a Sister of St. Joseph, a teacher, a professor, an author, to name some of the hats you have worn in the field of education. Let's start at your early education before entering the congregation.
I was born in Lawrence, Massachusetts, where my mother and father had emigrated to from Ireland. At an early age, we moved to Boston, where I went to school. I graduated from St. Catherine's Elementary School in Charlestown, where we lived, because my father worked for the government at the Navy Yard. From there, I went to Charlestown High School, and then within a year, I had an opportunity of securing a very fine position at the State House, which I turned down because I knew I wanted to enter the Sisters of St. Joseph. I entered the Sisters of St. Joseph, who had educated me, in 1925 and went to Framingham, which was our house of training. I was there for possibly 6 months when I was sent then to a teaching position with little or no training except what I could pick up on my own or from those around me. My first assignment was at Gate of Heaven School in South Boston, where I was what we would call then a canonical. That is, we lived in Brighton and went back and forth each day to the respective mission.
I'm sure, Sister Josephina, that although you had very little experience in teaching, that those who assigned you were aware that you were a self-motivator and able to handle your first teaching situation.
You are right, Sister. At Gate of Heaven, we had three of each grade, so that there were two other grades that I could go in and observe if I so wished. The two sisters in the opposite grades to me were very, very helpful. However, for the most part, I was on my own. I remember once taking my children to the lavatory, going down the hallway, carrying a long ruler. The superior met me, and I was called over, and she said to me, "Sister, where are you going, and what is that ruler for?" I said, "We are going to the lavatory, and I'm carrying the ruler so that the children will behave." She said, "Put the ruler back into the classroom. You don't need it to have them behave." And from that time on, I never again touched a ruler.
From that time on, you realized you were a natural disciplinarian.
I think you could say it that way. I enjoyed teaching. I enjoyed the children. I enjoyed my work. I enjoyed learning myself. After a 1 year at this particular responsible position, I was missioned to St. Joseph's in Amesbury. Amesbury at the time was on what we call the Northern Frontier. It was the farthest mission from Boston. It was somewhat semi-rural. I again had fourth grade there, but I was completely on my own. There was no corresponding teacher. I was one of the youngest sisters in the house, very, very happily occupied, and loved my work as a teacher. I remained in St. Joseph's Amesbury for 14 years as a classroom teacher. In those days, we did not leave the convent for any reason unless it was something that would be of a major level, except to go to our retreat in the summer.
So during those years, were you able to do any studying, Sister Josephina?
In the summer, I could take two courses, and at that time, I was studying at Boston College, taking courses living in Brighton. However, The direction was not that specific in that I could choose what I wanted to study without any direction being given me from somebody who probably knew more about it than I did. After 14 years, as I have mentioned, in Amesbury, and I'm going to be leaving out a lot here, from there the community sent me to St. Joseph's College in Buffalo, New York. I came to Brighton to study for the summer, as I usually did, was sent for by the Reverend Mother, who at that time was Mother Simplicia, told that I and another sister and I, would be going to Buffalo, New York for the entire year to study at their teacher's college.
I was going to ask you, Sister Josephina, what your field of concentration was. You were sent specifically to become a elementary educator?
Correct. St. Joseph's Teachers College was run by the Sisters of St. Joseph of Buffalo. Many different orders attended there, and it was very worthwhile. All our teachers were Sisters of St. Joseph of the Buffalo Diocese. I got my degree there, as did my companion.
And who was your companion, Sister
My companion
Josephine?
At that time was Sister Flavian. Turn it off for a minute, right? At the time of our being sent to Buffalo to study, I look back now and am able to recollect that the principal reason for our going there was that we would become community supervisors.
Your other companion, I believe, was Sister St. Fabian?
You are correct, Sister St. Fabian. Sister St. Fabian was a very gentle sister, but extremely shy, reserved, and to become a supervisor would be the farthest thing from her mind. When I returned from Buffalo, I went to St. Joseph's in Medford, was there just a year, and from there then went down to Sacred Heart Lynn to the eighth grade. I was only in Lynn 2 years, very, very happy years, and from there I was appointed as supervisor of the elementary grades for the Sisters of St. Joseph. That was 1944. I remained a supervisor until 1956, in that era. In the meantime, the community sent two other sisters and me to St. Louis University to get a master's degree. I studied there one summer, and the heat was so intense that I came home and I said to the Reverend Mother, Sister, I said, I would rather study at Boston College than do the next 3 or 4 summers in St. Louis because of the intense heat.
Let's backtrack a bit. I'm sure you can recall some interesting experiences while you were supervisor. I know you were highly respected and appreciated in that position. So share with us some of your experiences.
As far as professional training as a supervisor, I had none, except what I had learned from the supervisors who had come to me. In those days, you were never notified as to when your supervisor was coming. We watched the front door at 9 o'clock, and if nobody showed up, then we were quite sure we were free for the day. However, as time went on, we changed our tactic and would always notify the convent the night before that we would be visiting them the next day.
I'm sure the community appreciated that change, Sister Josephine.
It did in many ways, because number one, if the teacher did a very poor job, you could say to yourself, well, she knew I was coming, therefore she should have prepared. For the most part, our sisters did try very, very hard. I enjoyed going into the classroom. I enjoyed taking over the class for the teacher if she asked me to, and would give the superior, the principal, an oral report as to the status of that teaching episode that I had seen. Most principals were very gracious. However, one, without naming her, said to me when I went to tell her about my visit, Sister, you don't have to tell me anything about my teachers. I know every one of them. Whether she did or didn't, I can't say at this time. I continued my supervision through the 1950s, and in the meantime, picked up my master's degree at Boston College, where I enjoyed my work very much. When I was almost finished my master's degree at Boston College, Father John George O'Donnell, the dean of the graduate school, sent for me, and I thought probably I hadn't paid my tuition because there was a little something that I did owe, but I was just closing my eyes to it at that time. He asked me if I would like to come to teach for Boston College, and I said to him, "Father, our sisters don't do that." He said, "I know they don't, but I want you to do it." So I said, "Well, you'd have to come to see Reverend Mother," who was Mother Euphrasia at the time. That very afternoon, he was down here in Brighton, visiting with Mother Euphrasia and her council, asking if I could become a member of the faculty at Boston College, which they granted very readily.
Sister Josephina, did you remain as supervisor as well as a instructor, I suppose, was your category?
Yes, I did, Sister, for about 8 or 10 years. I supervised and taught. My days of teaching at BC were not every day, and at that time we did not have the heavy master's program that we picked up later on. Backtracking a little, Sister, for the most part, the principals of the school were very, very helpful. They wanted their school up number one, and when a school did not get a high rating, they wanted to know who it was that was pulling it down or for what particular reason, whether it was handwriting or mathematics or whatever it might be. At the time, we were under the supervision of Monsignor Timothy O'Leary, met with him each month, a very excellent educator, and the pros and cons of supervision would be laid down to us, and we would try to carry them out as such. At the end of each year, we also worked on the diocesan examinations, which consumed a great deal of our time, which now, of course, have gone by the wayside.
I had the privilege, of course, as you know, of teaching during that era, and as I look back, too, I see how fortunate we were with the supervision that we had from our sisters, from the diocesan office, and I'm sure that it was a peak time in education, for Catholic education in the Archdiocese.
I am very sure that I could never have gone into teaching at the college level if I had not had the experience of supervision and, of course, the experience as a classroom teacher. I began teaching at Boston College in 1948 and continued up to approximately 1968. In the meantime, at Boston College, I did the supervision or the supervisory work and the teaching there. Then finally, this became too much, and I had to give my entire time to teaching because I was directing at least 40 or 50 master's degrees, which were, of course, written and consumed a great deal of time.
So how many years would you say approximately that you were supervisor in our congregation?
I'd say about 15 years.
That was a long time to
part-time
do that.
Part-time and full-time.
How did you get to the various missions, Sister Josephina?
Every morning at 6:30, 6:45, Sister Clarice, Lord of Mercy on us, Sister Dennett, Lord of Mercy on us, the two of us would bundle up and off we'd go on the MTA. We seldom, if ever, got a ride. In those days, community houses did not have cars. When we would leave the respective school, the superior would leave $1, $2 in an envelope for us, which would help to pay for our car fare home. It was good to get home again because this is where we lived. This was our home.
Home was here at Mount St. Joseph Academy.
That's right.
Convent.
Right. And this was the mother house, and the council in my community lived here. I had access to any one of them. Once a week, I would see the Reverend Mother, Mother Simplicia, Mother Euphrasia, and report where I had been that week, what I had seen, and what the status of the school was. In each instance, I always tried to be as positive as I could about the school. Even if I saw some very poor work, I would not be as explicit as I might be. I tried to see that teacher again to help her so that she could become a little more productive with the children.
Did you offer any courses to our sisters during your years as supervisor?
Oh, yes. Many, many. I taught many courses to our sisters. Besides teaching at Boston College, I also taught to our sisters courses in reading, remedial reading, language arts, psychometrics, that's testing, tests and measures, etc. This I enjoyed very much. Many times during the year, we would have meetings of the elementary teachers. I would give a lecture to them of approximately 3/4 to an hour on principles of good teaching, hoping that a few things might go over and help them to carry it back into the classroom as such.
I understand, Sister Josephina, that you and the other supervisors with whom you worked were interested in the sister herself, and oftentimes perhaps observed the situation of the sister's health or her happiness. Were you able to do anything for the sister other than help her as a classroom teacher?
Oh, very much so, because when we would return, or when I would return to the mother house and give my status report to the Reverend Mother, if there was a sister who was not placed competently enough to have good mental health in the classroom, I would tell the Reverend Mother that sister should not have grade 3, she should have grade 6, or vice versa. If a sister was not getting along with those around her or with her principal, that I would make known too. Naturally, this would not happen after one or two visits, but it would be over a period of time that I would notice that sister was not happy or content in what she was doing.
That in itself, of course, was a great service to education.
Correct. During this time also, I wrote a mental arithmetic workbook from grades 2 through 8.
I was about to ask you about that.
Grades 2 and 3, Sister Denard Cronin took that area over because she was supervisor of the primary grades. Grades 4 through 8, I took those grades over. These books were used in all our schools for many, many years. And if I can reminisce for a minute, just a week or so ago, I met one of our teachers who asked me if there was any possibility of resurrecting those books and bringing them back into print, how much she appreciated them. That made me feel as though I had done something worthwhile. These were done because in the arithmetic or the mathematics book that was being used, there was very little mental activities for the child. Now, I know that all mathematics is mental, but I'm speaking now of prescribed mental problems that children would do without pencil and paper. At the same time, I also co-authored a spelling series for Catholic schools, grade 2 through 8. This consumed a great deal of my time also, but I enjoyed doing it. The royalty from both these books was a very, very good contribution to the community at large for the 10 or 15 years that the books were in vogue or in practice.
Do you recall the publishing companies that you worked
for? The Speller was in New Jersey. What do I want to say? Not Merrill. It'll come to me.
Sure.
The mental arithmetic book was done by the Catholic Students Press down in Philadelphia. Besides that, once I started teaching at Boston College, the old saying, publish or perish, became very obvious to me. And if promotion was to be in my train, as it were, I had to publish. And during my 15 years of productive teaching, 25 years in all, part-time included, I published over 150 articles, all of which are in print, in professional journals as such.
Was that during your years at Boston College?
That's right. Because if one wanted to be promoted at Boston College from lecturer to professor to assistant professor all the way up to full professor, one had to have not one or two articles, but a number of articles which had to be evaluated by a team. I was on that team for a number of years at Boston College when people would come up for promotion to evaluate what they had done, what they had published, etc.
Do you want to mention at this time the work you did with the campus school and the introduction of the Montessori method there?
The Montessori method came into vogue in the 50s due to, I can't think of that woman's name that was so...
Maria Montessori?
Well, Maria Montessori was the founder of the method, but there was a woman here in the United States, very, very well-to-do, who started a Montessori school, and from there it spread. So at Boston College, I put courses in for teachers, and also opened classes in the Montessori method. I was given a sabbatical of a year where I studied the Montessori work in Europe, in all the countries where it was practiced, which were not that many, but enough to know what it was all about. It was not here in the United States, with maybe one or two exceptions in the Midwest. Here in the East, we had none at all. When I finished my sabbatical, I came back to Boston College, then resumed my teaching, and we opened a class of two, in fact, there were three classes of children, ages 3, 4, and 5, where we used the Montessori work. I trained the teachers, and these classes continued for 4 or 5 years until something came in to obviate them.
Did many Montessori schools spread out from that teaching?
Oh, yes. Not only that, but my community had a large school in Newton. And Reverend Mother Catalina then sent for me and said, "Sister, we have a large school in Newton, and we would like to do something with it." I said, "Why don't we have a Montessori school?" Which, of course, they did. That became the Walnut Park, or the Wasakum Montessori School. And from there then, she sent for me in 2 or 3 years because there was a remedial reading school nearby owned by the community, which we no longer were going to use for just remedial reading. It was a very finely built school known as the Walnut Park School. And she asked me if I thought we could use that in any way, that is, for the community. And I said, many of the children in the Montessori school at Walnut Park went to the different public schools. If we had a school there, we could feed that school with the children.
And that school became known as the Jackson School.
Correct. The Jackson School became very, very successful. And today it is very productive. There are 6 grades because most of the children leave at the end of the 6th grade to go to some school nearby, a junior high school. These are tuition schools, of course, and this is a little income for the community as such.
And of course, you are aware that the current thought is that many of the parents of the Jackson School children would prefer to go up to grade 8 rather than have the children transfer for 2 years into a large public junior high school.
Correct, sister. Whether or not it will ever go to grade 8, well, that's entirely up to them. I mean, there is room there for such. Incidentally, the remedial reading still goes on because there is plenty of room, but the school itself is able to take care of the large number of children that come there. And the Montessori school, with 5 or 6 classes, is still functioning very well. I worked with those sisters in the Montessori school for a summer. We made materials for the classes, and many of them are still there carrying on very, very effectively.
You mentioned another Montessori school, the Wasakum Montessori in Framingham?
Oh, yes. We had that for maybe 8 or 10 years. For some reason, I don't know, community closed it, whether or not. I am positive it was not a lack of children, but for obvious reasons, the school closed. Maybe it was lack of personnel, etc. We also have one in Haverhill that I was instrumental. At the time, Haverhill School had opened as a kindergarten, and Sister sent for me and said, "Sister, we do not make even enough money to pay for the food for the teachers." what can we do with that school? And I said, why don't you turn it into a Montessori school? It's a beautiful home given us by the Cardinal. It's on a lake, beautifully situated. Sister said, well, what can we do? So I assembled the teachers who were going to be there, the five or six of them, trained them, told them what, you know, the principles were of Montessori work. And that school has been very, very successful. They have more children than they can accommodate. It seems as if the word Montessori is a come-on for parents. And those teachers there do a very effective job for the children's grades, ages 3, 4, and 5. And from there, then, they go into the local public school, a parochial school nearby. During my stay at Boston College, I had 3 sabbaticals, one where I studied the Montessori, another where I studied teacher training, and the third where I studied early childhood education.
Where did you make these studies?
One was in Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. One was in Europe, 10 different countries. Then the Montessori was the countries in Europe where Montessori work was being done, which were not that many. This I enjoyed very much. These sabbaticals would be 6 months. Boston College would give you half your salary, and then the community would pick up and give you the rest. These opportunities I appreciated very much because, number one, I was able to see Europe and see parts of the country that I would never have seen. Number two, to see what other places were doing in education. So many times I would come back to the United States, and when I would get off the plane, I would want to drop on my knees and kiss the ground that I was home, knowing that our teachers here in the United States and in Boston do very, very superior work compared to what I saw in other European countries. All too often we think of Europe as being the acme or the
center, the hub.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of teaching, when you can come stay right here in Boston and see exemplary, very effective teaching, which I did and which I was very pleased to recollect and to give.
And you really gave back everything that you received in those experiences in the succeeding courses and to the community. These were not wasted sabbaticals by any means.
I hope not. Yeah, at the end of a sabbatical, you had to turn in a written report, and this would run 30, 40, 50 pages. It was almost a small dissertation. I did not mention the fact that when I came to Boston College, we just had a master's program. We did not have a doctoral program. Beginning in 1953, Father Charles Donovan instituted the doctoral program at Boston College, and I was one of the first people to be enrolled in that. Incidentally, I was the first sister to teach at Boston College and the first woman in our Department of Education. My doctoral work was done at Boston College, and I continued my teaching along with it. I got no time off in any way.
And we understood that and respected you highly. In fact, I was present at the gardens when you received your doctorate, Sister Josephina. We'll leave that period of your life for another interview, and thank you very much.